defending because no one has to win. Start with the ending. It's the best way to begin.
All right, we are launching into the second week of our new series. It's a 9-week series with Canadian talk show host who? Drew Marshall. Yeah, that's me. And my wife and relationship guru and psychologist Dr. Sue Johnson. The series is called Rebuilding Love. How can a marriage rebuild after it ends? This song is David Wilcox, perfect for it. We tried 28 years of doing marriage our way, but eventually it ended. However, after a long separation, my wife and I recently renewed our vows in a small deserted island off the coast of Mexico. It really was beautiful. But now, to make sure I don't screw it up again, I've asked renowned psychologist and relationship guru Dr. Sue Johnson to help my wife and I rebuild our love, but this time with new foundational building blocks using tools that we've never had before. Dr. Johnson has agreed to personally take Bev and I through her Hold Me Tight program. This week, it's our Hold Me Tight conversation number one, called Recognizing the Demon Dialogues. And if you are into this, if you are getting this, if you think you and your significant other need to do this, go to drewmarshall.ca and click on the Hold Me Tight banner there and register. Go for it. All right? I would encourage you to do this course. This is us doing the program, and this is conversation number one.
Dr. Sue Johnson was on my show last year, and we kind of really connected. And I said, is there any way that you might consider helping Bev and I? Because if we're going to get back together again, we don't want to ever break up again. And we need to figure out how to rebuild this relationship from the ground up with some really helpful foundational building blocks. And Dr. Sue Johnson, author of, let me hold this up again, Hold Me Tight, is the one that we really need. So, Sue,
yes.
Save us. Go.
No, I'm not going to save you. You guys don't need me to save you. We have a map in EFT, emotionally focused therapy, that we've been developing for 30 years, and it's the approach that gets the best results in couple therapy. We help repair a huge number of couples, the vast majority of couples that come to see us. So you and the map is all written out in Hold Me Tight. So what we're going to do in this program is we're going to walk through that map. I'm going to walk through it with you. And you guys are going to have a map and have a way of understanding your relationship and working with key moments in your relationship, the key moments that define your bond and your connection, define the quality of your connection. And you're going to know what those moments are, and you're going to work through them with me, and you are not going to need me. After 7 sessions, you guys are going to fly. It's going to be the way it is. It's this is an educational program. It's not therapy, but we've got 2 studies on it already, and the results are great because all the things we're going to do here, the 3 of us in the next little while, are all based on a scientific understanding of what love is all about. And I think that makes a big diff because, you know, if you guys start to talk about your relationship, there's lots of places I could go. We could, you know, talk about all kinds of arguments, differences. You know, there's tons of levels to this drama. And the point is, we know from bonding science, the moments that we need to pay attention to, we know what to target. We know the way to go into the huge drama that's your relationship that you've had for years and focus down on the things that really matter. So you guys aren't gonna need me. You don't need me to save you. You've got the way home. We know the way home. You're already on it. I'm just blown away that after I talked to you about this, you know, you guys had enough faith and courage to then turn towards each other and already decide that you were gonna do it. I mean, that's fantastic that you can do that, having gotten caught in negative patterns and given up on each other, essentially, to be able to turn back and, you know, walk towards each other again. That's impressive. And I think people really need to know that you can do that. People really need to know that relationships are precious and that we can repair them. You know, we don't have to give up and just let go. We can work on our relationships.
Okay, well, so last week on the show, you joined us live and we gave everyone a complete overview of the whole hold me tight thing, okay?
Yeah.
And so this week, we're starting with the first session, is that what we're going to call it? What do you call it, conversation?
The first conversation, which is, it's kind of like, okay, what goes wrong, right? If we're gonna look at a relationship and make it solid and make it positive, what goes wrong? Because first of all, I think it's important to say all relationships get stuck. Everyone gets stuck in their relationship. I get stuck in my relationship with my husband of 30 years. If you dance with somebody, and just because the dance is so important to you, you're going to miss each other. You're going to get caught in different places. You're going to step on each other's feet. One person's going to move to the left. One person's going to move to the right. We all get stuck. So, you know, this conversation is really about recognizing where you get stuck and realizing that you can stand together as a team, as a couple, and look at where you get stuck and start to pinpoint it. Once you pinpoint it, once you kind of name it, you get your emotional balance and you can deal with it together in a different way than you usually do. So that's what we're doing here. We're looking at dealing with when the dance goes wrong, when everything goes wrong between you, and you start going into that place where you make all kinds of crazy decisions, like this person doesn't love me, or maybe I shouldn't be in this relationship, or, you know, and we all do that at times. So this is, it's called recognizing the demon dialogues. And I chose that because it is kind of like a demon. It's like a demon, you know, everywhere in the world, everyone's got demons, no matter what culture you come from. But, you know, in Christian culture, a demon is kind of like an evil spirit that comes along and takes over. Well, that's what happens in these demon dialogues. People end up in these horrible fights and they say, I don't even know, why are we fighting? Like, I don't even know what we're doing. How did this happen?
How did we get here? And why did I even marry you? And what's the point?
And how did we get here? And this goes wrong every time and we can't seem to change it. What's that about? Right? So part of it is you can't change it. You can't shape it unless you understand it. So this conversation is about tying down what goes wrong. You know, and you can think of every relationship you have that matters to you and find these points. You know, it's not just married couples. I can think about my relationship with my adult daughter and I know what goes wrong. Right, I get critical, she shuts me out, turns away, I say, you're not listening to me, I up the ante, she dismisses me, we're off to the races for the next, I don't know, 2 hours or so. And it's really, I'm saying it like it's no big deal, but actually it's amazingly painful for people.
Well, I just want to share with you, just as we're about to dive into the first conversation here in your book, the first of, I think, is going to be about 7 sessions. Is that right?
Yep.
7 conversations that the Marshalls and Dr. Sue are going to have. I just want to share with you that even on our honeymoon, our second honeymoon, we went to Mexico. We had a great conversation, multiple great conversations throughout the week. We did the I've shared the story on the show about sun setting. We walked out to this little island just off the coast and I gave her a ring. We renewed our vows. We walked back in the sunset and we had dinner on the beach and it was just amazing. But then the last night, it imploded a little bit.
Right.
Because there were some old triggers. You can't be together for 30 years and have a, you know, all the triggers are all of a sudden gone. So there were these triggers that came up. And and there were some tears, and there was some frustration, and there were some expectations, and there was some miscommunication, or what do you?
Yeah.
By the way, I just realized that, like usual, I'm saying everything, and Bev's saying nothing. Bev?
Yes. Not even miscommunication. Not talking through what we thought was going to happen.
Yes. Well, suddenly, I think there's a certain emotional music that starts to play. People get triggered. And, you know, suddenly it's like everyone is getting wary and tense. And your mind says, oh, here's what's going to happen now. And it's almost like you get ready for the fight. And then, of course, the fight just happens because you're already on guard. You're already ready to pounce or ready to walk off or... Right, and it happens so fast. Emotions are fast, and the music in a relationship, the emotional music is what sets everybody's feet going. It defines the dance, and it can happen just like that. So you're right, you triggered each other, and it's hardly surprising, but you're still here.
Yeah. You did that. Well, you know what? It's important for me that everyone understands that this isn't some. We haven't just walked into a Hallmark movie here.
Yes.
You know, we're just because we had the romantic, we were back together, and oh, isn't that a lovely ending to the story, and your children must be so happy, and everyone around you is happy, and people celebrate, and we go away to Mexico and do the second honeymoon, and there's a new ring, and there's vows, and no, we broke down that last night there, and I think, like you said, Sue, one of the reasons we broke down was because all of a sudden it felt like what it used to be, and then we panicked and we went, oh crap, really?
But you just said something really, really important, okay? You just said something really important, because what you said is we stepped on each other's feet, we lost that safe connection for a moment, and we panicked. And I think the tricky thing is it happens so fast when this goes wrong that people don't say, hey, we're caught, we're in that panic place. They say, hey, you're being mean, or hey, you're doing what you usually do, which is you walk out on me, you know, and they our eyeballs face out, you know, you look at and see what the other person's doing. We don't stop and say, wait a minute, this is one of these moments when we're both scaring each other to death. You can't be in love with somebody and not have them dance together in ways sometimes where you scare each other. You scare each other just because you're so important to each other. You know, that's what happens. You scare each other because you matter so much, not because we think, oh, he's being mean or she doesn't care. We're all caught up in a dance where we're getting in a panic, right? We can't get our partner to respond to us. We feel rejected. We feel abandoned, like we don't matter to them, and we go into a panic. And it's a real panic, by the way, Drew. I'm not just using a fancy word. There's a brilliant brain scientist called Yap Panksepp who just died, and he did tons of brain research. And he said in the brain of mammals that get together and rear young together and depend on each other, there's a special neural pathway in your emotional brain that's reserved for this kind of panic around people you depend on and you love. If you suddenly find you can't reach them, or they're rejecting you, or you feel abandoned by them, he said it's literally a panic, because love's all about survival. It's a survival mechanism. So panic is a really good word. And if I could say one thing that couples don't understand, they don't understand the impact they have on each other. You know, I say to my, this is after 30 years of marriage, I say to my husband, you really don't understand the impact you have when you turn with that look on your face and raise your right eyebrow. You just don't understand. And he says, I don't know what you're talking about. I say, exactly. You don't understand that when you do that, I suddenly feel like I'm about 3 years old and 8 daddies disapprove of me. You know, they're all standing in a line and they're all going, no. And I feel like this. And he says, I don't even raise my right eyebrow. I said, believe me, you raise your right eyebrow. And for me, suddenly I'm in a place of like, oh, you know, and I get, and then my response is I get all feisty. And of course, from his point of view, what's happened? She's getting all weird on me. What the hell happened there? I don't know what happened, right? So it happens fast. And yes, couples touch each other's vulnerabilities. You can't be in love with somebody and not be vulnerable to them. That's one of the great paradoxes of love. So you guys got into a panic, and then what happened?
Oh, well, I'm so glad you brought that up. what happened was I wanted to talk about it. I called her on it. She basically started to engage in conversation, and then I kind of leaned in a little more to the conversation, and then it was sort of Bev's usual MO. If I can, well, hold on. Instead of me telling everyone what your MO is, how did you first respond?
Shut down and avoid.
Yeah. Right. So Bev shut down, just sort of rolled over, you know, in the bed, and I figured, okay, well, that's not going to work. So shut off the light. And then I just went, we just said vows 5 years ago that said, we're not going to go to bed angry. So I turned the light back on, even though it was like, you know, midnight or something like that, or 1 a.m. I said, we got to do this. What is going on here? What's happening? And so
that's great, because look at what else you said. You asked the million-dollar question, what is happening, you said. You didn't do what so often we do, which is you didn't say, how come you're being so difficult? Or, you know, don't you understand how perfect I'm being here? And how, you know, you didn't do either of those. You didn't attack or justify. You said, what is happening here? And that's like stepping back and getting your balance. And the tricky part is, for most of us, we've never seen people do that. It's never been on a movie. Most of us have never even seen it, right? So if you've never seen something, you've never seen the plot play out, the dance play out, it's real hard to even know that it's a possibility when things go wrong. So that's brilliant. You knew you were panicked and you switched on the light. You didn't let the whole thing take over. You did your usual things, which we'll talk about, because it sounds like you know what your old cycle is, and that's what this conversation's about. But you switched on the light and you said, what's happening here? Which is like, it's almost like an invitation to Bev to say, hey, let's look at how we're dancing. And that's a key thing that you were able to do, that lots of people, they get caught in the content. You know, I had a couple have an enormous fight about the Christmas lights, and I show it to therapists when I teach them, and they're totally caught in the Christmas lights. And he says, you're so critical, you're so difficult, I can never do it right. If I can't do the Christmas lights, then you want to give me advice. If I can't do it, you certainly can't do it. And then she says, oh, right, I'm so stupid, I'm not even going to talk to you. And then I ask them, what's this fight about? They say, it's about the Christmas lights. I said, no, it's not about the Christmas lights. It's about how you dance together. Look at what you do to each other. You cut each other off. You criticize each other. You put up walls. You reject each other and abandon each other. That's what it's about. And that triggers us just because we're human beings. And that's the way our brain works. It's got nothing to do with how together we are, how mature we are, or how anything we are. It's just got to do with us being human beings. So you did a brilliant thing. You said...
Hold on, Sue, just a second.
Yeah.
Could you just say that again? Please? What did I do?
You did a brilliant thing. And I'm presuming that because you said, what's going on here, and Bev didn't hear you pushing or criticizing or poking her. Bev, what did you do?
Well, I take a long time to process. And Drew's very good at putting words to my feelings, so he knows me really well. So, you know, if I'm having a hard time coming up with what am I feeling, sometimes he'll say, are you feeling this way? And I'll go, yes or no.
But he tries to help you with your feelings,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, which is, it's good for me because when I'm upset, I have a hard time expressing myself.
I hear you. And so you were able to move that. You were able to not get stuck in the demon dialogue that usually takes over. You were able to move. But let's stay with that demon dialogue for a minute, because what I'm hearing, and all through these programs, if I get it wrong, you correct me, all right? What I'm hearing
God.
Is... okay. What? Yeah, I believe you. Okay. So what I'm hearing is that, and I just have the bare bones, you can help me a bit, is that your demon dialogue, the one, the dance that would take you over and leave you both disconnected and in a panic, was something to do with Drew, you bringing something up and bringing it up and saying, wait a minute, like pushing and pointing out what was going wrong and trying to get your lady to somehow deal with you, right, and listen to you. And my sense is that you, Bev, you said, I take longer to process, that you would see him coming at you, and maybe you felt criticized, I don't know, but you'd see him coming at you and you'd need to slow down and you'd feel somehow like he's coming at you like a Mack truck, and you'd shut down and withdraw and kind of tune him out. Am I getting it?
Yep.
Well, that was pretty easy. Okay.
Yep.
It was easy because that's the most popular dance that takes us into disconnection in the whole world. Okay. It seems like just a natural one because somebody feels disconnected and they turn and they say, hey, but the very way they say it, we don't quite know how to say it in a way that invites our partner close. So we say it and there's kind of a push in the hey, and our partner hears that they've done something wrong, they disappointed us, and they protect themselves. And they move away, and the more they move away, the more we go in and say, where are you, where are you? I think the important thing about what I'm saying is to realize that the partner who's coming on strong is really saying, where are you, where are you? But it doesn't usually sound like that. After a while, when this is why it's a demon dialogue, after a while, it doesn't sound like, where are you, where are you? It sounds like, you know, where are you, you're doing something wrong, and where are you, I'm upset with you, and where are you, I want you to change. And you know, it's and then the other person doesn't feel invited to come close, the person feels pushed away. So your cycle would be that you'd be the person who was pushing for contact, but you'd probably sound upset and angry. And Bev would be the person who would be like shutting down the door, going behind a wall, slowing down, protecting herself. Is that how it would go?
Yeah, I think, you know, we talked about this as we were going through the first conversation here and the demon dialogue stuff. And, you know, Bev's pattern is to shut down, retreat, but then do. Like she will focus on work.
Yes.
So there's a weird dynamic in our relationship where I'm sure most of the couples that you deal with, maybe not all, but most, it's the guy that does that kind of thing. And I don't know if this is offensive to everybody, but I'm really good at offending people. So I would like to try to do that in the first session that we're going through here.
Yeah.
I'm the chick in the relationship. Okay. I'm the one who gets sucky and wants communication and I get pouty. So Bev turns to doing, avoiding, then doing. And I just turn into, I get sucky and then I blame. So there's a sucky part of my personality. and then I throw it back on Bev and blame her.
Right. Well, but you see, the very fact that you can say that, and you've read the book, so that really helps a lot. But many couples don't even recognize what it is they do that keeps the fight going, right? So it's great that you can say, Yeah, I'm going to change that you get sucky, Drew, if you don't mind. I'm going to think, I think what you're saying is, I get into this place where I know what I need is connection. Right? I need that connection, right? So that's what you're saying.
Yep.
So, I've got to stop because my dog just pushed the door open.
All right, it's intermission time. So go ahead and pour each other another glass of wine and talk about what you just heard there on the Drew Marshall Show. Thank you for tuning in. This is a 9-week series with my wife and I and relationship guru and psychologist Dr. Sue Johnson. If you want to follow these painfully authentic and vulnerable conversations with Bev and I and Dr. Sue, you want to go to our YouTube channel, The Drew Marshall Show. Just go to the website, drewmarshall.ca. And right on the first page, there are two big green sections there. One is for you to follow the videos of all of these conversations. The video from our conversation last week is loaded up there for you to watch. And then after today's show, we will load the video sometime during this upcoming week. Also, there's a place for you to click on and register yourself for the Hold Me Tight online program to begin to rebuild your love, your relationship. It's about $300 American dollars, but I just found out that it's been a while since I've gone to a therapist. The least for a one-hour session with a therapist is $150.
Oh, yeah.
Goes up to, again, you talked into the mic without pushing the button.
Yeah.
So $150 up to like $300. So these are 7 sessions with Dr. Sue, the online program. It really is very well worth it. And, of course, if you go to drewmarshall.ca, you know, it's probably the best way to kind of get into that program through our site. It's just easier to do that. Short break. When we come back, part 2 of that conversation, it gets even a little more awkward. Thank you for eavesdropping on the conversation between our marriage helper and Bev and I. I just love the fact that everyone's listening.
Listen to the music in the relationship and you want connection. And you start to worry about that. So you come on strong to get. And really what you're saying is, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? And
what I'm saying, Sue, this is what I'm saying.
Hold me tight. Hey, that's what you're trying to say. That's right. Where are you? Where are you? But then when you don't get your needs met, it turns into it's criticism. It's blame. Where are you? Right. So Bev hears the criticism and then you, Bev, you shut down.
Yeah.
You turn away.
Yeah. Retreat. And then I just
retreat.
Yeah.
Right. And the important thing is, let's follow the dance, because it keeps going. It recreates itself. It's like, it's just like something that spins all by itself after a while. You set it in motion, and then it does you. It spins. So you push. You get pushy and sucky, right, and critical. Bev hears the criticism. Also, you're a fast talker. You're coming on strong. You help me, Bev. You're kind of overwhelmed, are you?
Yeah. And, you know, we were talking a little bit about, you know, at what point did the dance start? And at what point, how long have I been retreating that I don't even see it anymore? And it's just a pattern.
Yeah.
And I'm not coming back. So I'm just going deeper and further away to the point where, yeah, there's total disconnection.
Right. And that's what happens. It's like people can't really look at the... What we try to do is put this dance up on the wall so people can see it. Then they can have some control over it. Right. But what you're saying is, yeah, I'd retreat. And the more we got caught in this dance, the further I'd retreat. Right. I'd go to my safe place, which was a long way away, where I couldn't hear him blaming. Right. Where I wouldn't be overwhelmed and I'd shut down. And when I shut down, I'd shut him out. And so notice I'm linking the two of you in your steps in the dance into a circle. And the more you shut him out and the more you would avoid connecting with him, avoid his blaming, I guarantee the pushier you got, right?
No.
Yeah. Okay, at one time he retreated too. Like he'd get to the point where he would just have enough and then he would retreat as well.
Well, okay. So I have spent my life fine-tuning this the identity of victim. So that's why I kind of use the sucky terminology a little bit. I, you know, poor me and whatever is me. And so when we eventually got to, like, just before separating, living separate lives, I would go out to the pub and talk to different people, and inevitably the subject of, well, are you married or what's going on? Why are you here? And where's your wife and all that kind of stuff. And then I kind of bitch about how, well, my woman doesn't appreciate me. She doesn't like to talk and communicate, and I could raise that victim flag up the pole again. And how awesome am I as a guy who likes to communicate and she doesn't, and I'm lonely, and, you know, just bring out the violins. It was brutal.
Right. But see, what you just used, a very interesting word. You said lonely. So this dance would start to play out. And the more it played out, and the more often it played out, and the more extreme it got, the lonelier you'd get, and the more reluctant you'd be, the more unsafe you'd feel to come and engage with him. So the further away, the more distant you would get. So you've got a dance where one person's always distancing, and the more you distance, the lonelier and more upset and more desperate he's going to get. And so he's with you, he's going to push or just walk away and try and give up, but then he'll come back and push again. And look at the dance you're caught in, and it can last for years. Actually, it's very sad. If you can't look at it and take control of it, it can last people's whole lives. And, you know, that's pretty disastrous because it leaves them both alone, right? And we just aren't built to be alone. So it goes that you push for connection. She sees you coming, she moves away because it doesn't feel safe. The more she moves away, the more you push. The more you push, the more she moves away. You're stuck until the point where you get even upset and you start going off to the pub and talking to people and you start withdrawing. You've just described a dance that leads straight to hell. You're talking about demon dialogues. It leads to disconnection where nobody feels safe. So the first step in all this, in these conversations, is to get what your dance is. And this one is the most popular. Some people can go into attack for a while, but that's hard to keep it up all the time. It needs too much energy. And some people end up probably at the end of your relationship, you were both withdrawn. You were both on guard and you were both putting up walls.
Exactly.
So that can happen too. But this one we're talking about is the main show in town, in terms of emotional disconnection in couples. So that was the dance. And the more you pushed, the more she'd move away. The more she moved away, the more you pushed. Both of you were in a panic. Both of you were alone. Am I getting it?
Yeah, totally. But I want to clear up one thing. I don't want to paint Bev as this cold, disconnected person.
No.
I actually was so good at playing the role of victim that I created our life, like I, what am I trying to say here? I was so good at playing the role of victim that I got her finally to the point where she believed the lie that she couldn't make me happy. So she said, "Look, this isn't going to work anymore. We're done. You need to find somebody that'll make you happy. Obviously, I can't make you happy. So this is the end of the marriage." And that's not what I ever wanted, but
no.
But I communicated this victim crap so well that she started buying into it. And I never made the conversational space safe because it always came with accusation, blame shift, and the victim.
Accusation's a good word. But, you know, the point is, as I understand it, when we're losing our connection with the person who's most important to us in the world, and we're flooded with fear, it's very hard for us to keep our balance, right? And so we don't, and you wouldn't have understood that you just said something like, "I never made it safe for her." It's real hard to do if you're terrified that you're about to be totally rejected and lose your partner. 90% of the glucose going to your brain is just dealing with that terror. It's so hard to stand and say, "Wait a minute, how am I dancing here? Oh, wait a minute, if I was my partner, I wouldn't feel safe right now. How can I make us both feel safe?" That's like emotional gymnastics. Most of us just can't do it, right? We just, it's like, we can't do it. Hey, I write all this stuff and I can't do it in the middle of a fight with my husband. I can't do it either. You know, it's like, I can't do that. I just play out the stuff that everybody play. I'm the pursuer. I'm the one that knocks on the door and says, excuse me, where are you? Kindly talk to me. Listen to my voice, right? I'm very inviting, aren't I? Kindly talk to me.
Yeah, I was going to say, how'd that work for you? Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't work. But, and then he says, I'm tired. Oh, that's it. That's enough. Like the whole house is on fire 2 seconds later, right? So it's so hard to recognize, wait a minute, let's slow it down. And a lot of this in this program, a lot of it is understanding how we push each other's buttons and slowing stuff down so that we can feel more in control. A lot, I'm going to say that a lot. Let's slow it down. And but you're saying, I didn't know how to help her make it safe for her. We didn't know how to stand back and look at our dance. So it played out and it played us. The demon is the dance. Nobody's the bad guy. Nobody's at fault. We're all trying to make love up as we go along. Most of us have never seen it when it works. We're just doing our best and getting stuck in all our fears. But when we start to understand we're just human beings and we get caught in this dance, once we understand the dance, then we can move into dealing with it differently. And I think do this because it's all written out in the book on page 96. And we have a conversation like this, right? We do it in the Hold Me Tight groups, and we show people how to do it on our Hold Me Tight online program, and we're talking about it here, but it's all written out in the book.
Okay, Sue, we got the seven conversations. We've been talking about the first conversation, but just to help our listeners and everyone get on board with this, succinctly help us understand the first conversation.
The first conversation is called Recognizing the Demon Dialogue. The dialogue that you guys get caught in that comes in and takes over your relationship and leaves you both alone, both feeling panicked, rejected, abandoned, like you don't matter to your partner, right? This is kind of a universal thing that everybody gets caught in. And we help you identify the dance and then look at your dance and go into a set dialogue where you help each other out of the dance. The one that you guys were talking about where you push for connection for her to talk, Drew, and she feels blamed, you end up blaming, and she shuts down to protect herself and goes away. And the more she shuts down, the more you push. We call that the protest polka, because you're really saying, where are you, where are you? But it doesn't sound like, it sounds like a blame. And she reacts the way we do when we feel blamed. She turns away and shuts down. She shuts you out, you feel more alone, you push more. So that's the protest polka. This is one of the demon dialogues. And we're helping people see how they unwittingly create disconnection in their relationship, right? Because that's the first step before you can turn and really learn how to create connection. You got to figure out how you set it in motion, this dance, and play this emotional music in a way that just has this dance play out and take over your relationship.
Okay. All right. Okay. So identifying, because you know what, Sue, you're using terms that outsiders are listening to, like the enemy is not you guys, it's the dance. Well, what the heck? Like all I hear when I first heard that, I thought, oh, I sort of get that because I hate dancing. It's always been my enemy.
It's the way you move together that's the problem. Not the fact that you're bad partners or bad people, or, you know, mean or distant. Or I had a couple say to me today, he said to her, you're so cold, right? And she said to him, you know, you're so aggressive and accusing. All you do is accuse, right? And he says, well, if you would respond to me, then I wouldn't always be accused. I mean, here it is. It's like, that's it, guys. It's, oh, here we are again. Protest polka, right? So we help people understand what's going on and then come together and say, what's happening here? Let's step out. So let's see if we can put it together the way it is in the book with from what you've told me. Drew, and you, I want you to correct me, and I'm going to ask you to put in words, all right?
Okay.
So you go in and you make, you, in general in this program, if you want to take control of your relationship, you have to slow things down, and you have to get specific, because we talk in generalities. You're so difficult, right? That doesn't work, okay? So when you think, when does everything go wrong? When does it all go wrong? And what you said to me just now was, you said, well, I start to feel a bit sucky. I start to want connection. I want closeness. You maybe want affection or to talk, right? I get sucky. And somehow it doesn't seem to work, so I start to blame, yes? So when thing Drew starts to feel somehow not connected to Bev, and what Drew does with that, the way you move in the dance, you start playing critical music to her, right? And way you move in the dance is to get critical, yes?
Right? Yes, and I'm really good at it too.
I believe you. And then Bev, let's how see. So when this, look at how the dance starts. It all goes wrong. What's the moment it goes wrong? Drew starts to say, wait a minute, where are you? I don't feel connected to you. I want something more from you. And he tends to push and blame. And Bev, what do? You tend to what?
Oh, well, near the end, too, it was like, okay, I know where this is going. And I said, all right, see you later.
Right.
Wouldn't engage. It's like, all right.
That's perfect. You say to yourself, right, I know this emotional music. This is all about how I'm a bad wife, or you know, he's mad at me. This is feels horrible. I know this music. I'm out of here, right? This, because this hurts. Yeah. Right? It hurts. Rejection and being not mattering and feeling abandoned by a partner, it hurts. And most of us have never seen two adults sit down and have a conversation about that. Duh. And by the way, that's not in the movies either about love. The movies about love are all about sex, actually. They're not about, you know, what to do with all this stuff. So we got it. We got when it happens, we tie it down, right? That's how to deal with a demon. We tie it down. And then we say, what do I do in the dance? Drew, you say, let's simplify it. You say, I don't know where she is. I can't connect, so I blame. And then when you blame and you get pushy, you say, right, here it comes. I'm just going to hear what a bad wife I am. And you get the hell out, right?
Yep.
Right. And you help me, Drew. When you start to get pushy, what she doesn't see is, what you're hoping for when you get pushy is what?
Okay, let's play this out. So what I'm hoping for when I get pushy is for her to say, you know what? You're right. We should be spending more time. Let's sit down. You're right. Let's sit down and talk about this, and let's communicate more. And what's behind that, and how do you feel? Drew, how are you feeling? When I do this, how does that make you feel? Beth, have you ever used those sentences before?
When we're doing couples therapy with other
people. Right. So that's right. You hope that she'll respond. And that's universal. When we're pushing like that, we always hope that our partner will open the door. We don't understand that the way we're saying it makes it so hard for them to open the door. It's almost impossible. But you hope, and what do you do, Bev, when you turn away, what do you hope is going to happen? You hope that he'll what?
Disappear.
No, he'll stop being so pushy, right? He'll calm the hell down. He'll stop telling you you're blowing it, telling you you're disappointing. You'll hope that he'll just disappear, stop blaming you, and then maybe come back in a different space. So that's what we hope for, but that's not what happens, because we set each other up, right? We set each other up. Okay. And in those moments, I'm going to guess, it's in the dialogue, but I'm going to guess here. You say things to yourself about the relationship when the dance gets going. I don't know what you say, Bev, but maybe you can think about it. What do you say, Drew? You say what? You say, there you are, you see, she doesn't care. There you are, you see, I'm going to be alone forever. There you are, you see. What did you used to say in the worst moments to yourself?
Well, to be brutally honest, I would use that as fuel to justify me going out and seeking attention from other women.
Ah, you say, I can't get my needs met here. She's never going to respond to me. If the only thing to do is to turn to other women, right? Right.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I you know, don't get me, I don't want everyone to think I'm some skank that runs around trying to, you know, have sex with everybody, everything that moves. I'm not sure I said that the best way possible, but I certainly, you know, poured out whatever I felt I couldn't pour out to Bev, to other females, because I'm not going to get all mushy with a dude, because A, that makes me uncomfortable. I'm not cool with the dude on dude mushiness stuff. And besides, guys are typically horrible listeners, so who would I talk to? I'd talk to women. And then women would go, oh, he's so understanding, he's so communicative, he's so, you know, he's and he a great eye contact, and he listens, and he asks me about me, and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, they'd be into me, and I'd be like, whoa, hold on, I don't want to, you know. And it was, so it even got weird outside of the house.
You went and tried to get the validation somewhere else.
Totally, and that's
a very human response, and it doesn't really work that well, and it can turn into something that's pretty disastrous for your marriage, right? Because it can turn into an affair or something. So you would in the end move away to somewhere else, but you'd say to yourself, she's never going to respond to me, I'm never going to get my needs met. And what would you say, Bev, in the middle of this demon dialogue about the relationship? You'd say what? This guy just isn't safe. I can't be open with this guy. Or
I actually want to say, I think Bev said this one time. So before Bev actually answers on behalf of Bev, let me answer on behalf of Bev. And I think Bev has said this. I would say, I hope he does have an affair and goes out and finds somebody else, because then I have a reason to finish this marriage.
Oh, yeah, I've thought that for sure.
So you'd say, this is unbearable, this isn't going to work, it's never going to change, he's always going to come for me, I'm always going to be the bad guy, right?
Well, for sure. So I think, too, in a Christian marriage, you know, you think divorce isn't an option, so you think that you're stuck in something because that's what we're growing up with, you know, believing, so if he did that, then it could end and it wouldn't be my fault.
It'd be a lot easier. It'd be a lot easier if he just was killed in a car accident, because then we wouldn't look bad because of divorce. What kind of whack thinking is that within the Jesus?
Yeah.
I don't, you know.
Yeah, but what I think what you're talking about is, it really speaks to how painful this is. You know, we're talking about it in a sort of logical kind of way here because we're pinning it down, but we're talking about a dance that literally hurts. Okay, it literally hurts. There's lots of brain research that says that when people feel rejected by the person they love, it's processed in the same way in the brain as physical pain, right? It literally hurts. We're in pain. So we do desperate things. We blame, we shut our partner out, we shut down, we say, I hope you never come back. We say, fine, I'll go out and find someone else. We do desperate things, right? So this is how it would go. So let's get clear then. We've been talking about how clear the pattern is that led you guys to divorce, basically, right?
Well, not officially. The paperwork wasn't signed, but it was certainly a good solid couple of years of separation.
Okay. So if you were doing the exercise from the book, you'd fill in a little form that says, the more I, right, then the more you. And then so let's do it. So I want you both to do it. So Drew, what would you say to your lady right now? You'd say, the more I, the more you.
Yeah, the more I would come at you to try to get you to engage with me, because how crappy I came at you with this, the more you would retreat or pull away And then the more I would come at you with blame shift and I could play the role of victim, and that didn't make you feel safer at all. And so the more you pulled away, and that was the dance.
Right. And I would imagine that in the middle of all this, you'd feel pretty bad inside.
Me?
You'd feel pretty alone. Yeah, I imagine. Oh.
No question. Actually, so hold on. I just want to check in with Bev on something. So yes, I felt alone, but I felt even more bugged because I felt that you didn't feel alone.
Right. Yeah. Right. So it was just you that was hurting. And we do feel that. We can't see it on our partner's face because we're caught in the dance. We're playing our roles in the dance, so we feel like it's just me that's hurting, and that makes us feel even more vulnerable. So, Bev, if you did that, what would you say? Your version is, the more you, notice I start with the, ask you to start with the I, because we think the dance starts with the other person. So if you were going to say it, you'd say, the more I, the more you, how would you put it to your husband, your partner?
The more I retreat and try to live a peaceful life in our home and in our family with our relationship, the more I'm really disengaging from him.
Yeah, I'd say it to him. The more I retreat and disengage to try and keep the peace, the more you...
Probably feel hopeless about our relationship because... he's always been the one that wants the deeper connection.
Right. And then he would do what? The more you'd heat up the ante, yeah?
Well, yeah, but in saying that, you know, in the midst of the blaming and, not feeling good about being at home and in his company, it just made me retreat more.
Right. So the more you blamed me, the more I retreated, right? And then we were both caught in this painful dance, and the dance just took over, and it just had its own momentum, and we felt out of control, and it just took over, yeah? So what we're doing here is we're helping you pin down the dance you get caught in that leaves you both feeling hopeless and helpless in the relationship. If you can see the dance, you can start to have control of it. One way to have control of it, so you start to be able to say to each other, hey, we're caught in this dance, takes time, right? You have to get to know the dance before you can say, hey, wait a minute, we're doing that thing, right? But did you name it? I usually try to get couples to name it because it sort of pins it down. I don't know if you've got a name for yours.
Oh, that'd be good. I usually can come up with names, well-named things. Actually, we talked about this earlier today. I thought I did come up with a nice little... something like, I don't know. Now I'm just trying to be smart and creative, and I'm choking big time here.
It's okay.
Victim, you know, pity party... blame shift, this is too long of a name, and then retreat into work and just avoid.
Okay, so how about victim retreat? It's good, whatever you guys can think about it for next time, because we're going to talk about the music next time and the emotions that are happening here. But, you know, I give you an example. One couple I work with said, it's the spin, because it picks us up and spins us. And we're both off balance, we're both lost, and it just spins. Mm. Another couple said on the tapes in the Hold Me Tight educational program that we run, she says, it's the nothing. And I said, I'm sorry, what do you mean? She said, well, I'm upset and I'm hurt with him, but I don't know how to say it. And he turns to me and he says, what's wrong? And I say, nothing. Nothing. And then he says, why don't you talk to me? And she says, no, there's nothing happening, nothing, nothing. And then he says, I'm leaving, I'm going to work, right? And then she says, and so then he leaves, and I'm left with nothing. So I thought that was a very beautiful image. That was a lady who was in the place you're bed, who would withdraw all the time because her husband would come on so strong to her, right? And she didn't know how to sort of stand toe to toe with him. But I thought it was very beautiful because she said, in that moment, I have nothing. We have nothing. And I start to give up on our relationship. So couples come up with images for their dance. The good thing about that is it's quick. You can say to somebody, hey, the spin's happening. Or, hey, you know, this is happening, right? You know,
say for me, it would be survival mode.
Right, the survival dance. I can remember having a conversation with my son where we decided to call it the lecture, which was a bit unfair because it was just about me. It didn't include him.
All right. Speaking of the lecture, I'm going to interrupt just because we're running out of time. And if you want to watch the rest of that, watch or listen to the rest of that, you want to go to, let's see, any of our social media platforms. Follow us on Facebook. That's probably the best place to follow us, Facebook, the Drew Marshall Show Facebook page. And we'll let you know when that video is loaded in the place where we're loading all the videos. So this is a 9-week series that we are doing. It's called Rebuilding Love. How can a marriage rebuild after it ends? My wife and I tried for 28 years doing marriage our own way, but eventually it ended. And after a long separation, we recently renewed our vows on a small deserted island off the coast of Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
So now to make sure I don't screw it up again, I asked renowned psychologist and relationship guru Dr. Sue Johnson to help my wife and I rebuild our love, but this time with new foundational building blocks using tools that we've never had before. And thankfully, Dr. Sue Johnson agreed to personally take my wife and I through her Hold Me Tight program. Now, if you want to do this course yourself, go to drewmarshall.ca and it's boom, it's right there. Huge thing that says if you want to sign up for the Hold Me Tight online program, you click there and it'll take you right to where you need to go. It's not free, but it's, and it, what is it, $300 American, $297 US dollars, right? So that's, I think, about 400.
Yeah, close to 450.
No, it's 400. 297 is 400
Canadian
dollars. Oh, sorry, I thought
you were saying three something.
400 Canadian dollars, and that would equal out to two counseling sessions with a therapist. So you can either have two counseling sessions with a therapist, which is useless, or you can sign up for this Hold Me Tight program and do the program yourself. They have so much material, so many resources. Dr. Shu and her team there will take you through the whole thing. It really is fantastic. But you go to drewmarshall.ca and click on the Hold Me Tight banner there. And what else? So the video that we are doing, we pre-recorded because we wanted everybody to have the opportunity to be able to say, no, I don't want that aired. Then the sessions could be filled with integrity and authenticity. You know, we don't want everybody sitting there going, ooh, I can't talk about that. But that's why we pre-recorded it. Does that make sense?